You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
You know, this past week, I know last week you guys had a great sermon and we were not here. I took the boys camping, amen? And we actually went camping in tents, something that just happened in a very cold part of South Africa. So I prepared as best as I could. I spoke to some experts on what to do, got some stretchers, and they gave me some advice. Said, put the blankets at the bottom, put a body warmer on, put your tracksuit on, and if you want to, a jacket. And then you get into the sleeping bag and make sure that you're warm. You know, but we got a bit busy and all the excitement and everything. I said to my son, I don't think it's that cold. I'm not going to put on the body warmers. I'm just going to jump into the tracksuit and I'm going to sleep. Lo and behold, the next morning, I'm telling you now, I've never been so cold in my entire life. And my throat was sore. I thought, gee, you know, there's a whole sermon in this. We can control the controllables, but sometimes we try to control the weather. And we think, ah, the weather won't do anything to me. So the next night, you know what I did? I had the body warmers on. I had the tracksuit on. I had another warm jacket on. And I actually told my son, I said, you know what? You can sleep in the tent. I'm sleeping in the bus. And I took control of what I could control. And then the Lord gave me a sermon topic, control the controllables. And I thought that's how life is. Sometimes we cannot control what we go through, but you can control how you go through it. You know, I cannot control the weather. I cannot control the US dollar to the rand. I cannot control the economy. Sometimes health situations, you cannot control it, but how you go through it, you can control. There are certain things that you can control. You can control your attitude. You can control how close you want to be to God. You can control how you go through difficult times. And most of the time, we get overwhelmed because we try and control the things we cannot control. And we wonder so much about, how can I control this? But it's actually out of your control. Instead of just taking control of the controllables. And when I went and looked at the Bible is full of it. The Bible teaches us to control the controllables, and that which you cannot control, give it to God. But sometimes we get the good advice, like what I got. Put on the body warmers, put on an extra jacket, but we think, ugh, I know better. I've got faith to move the cold away. Then the cold came and took control of us. So if you don't control the controllables, your situation and your circumstances can start to control you. So what are the things that you have control over? Turn to the person next to you and say, you have control. The decisions you make. You had control whether you wanted to come to church today or not. You have control over your attitude. Not just this is me, take it or leave it. No. You've got control over your attitude. Your obedience, whether you want to be obey or not obey, whether you want to be kind or not be kind, you've got control over that. You know what you've got control over? You've got control over your heart. And the Bible says that we should guard our heart above all things because out of it flows the issues of life. When you take control, taking control is actually very active. It's not just, okay, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be. Taking control is very active. When we look at Deuteronomy 30 verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, and I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. If you're going to choose life, it's active. And whether you choose death, it's active. You decide. God has already made the decision that He wants blessings in your life. You control your efforts. You control how hard you're going to work. You control your words that you speak. You control whether you're going to pray or not pray. Many people are offended with God and then they say, I'm not going to talk to you, like what they do to their friends. But if God is your source, don't run away from Him. Run to Him. Amen? So you can choose the blessing. Turn to the person next to you and say, choose life. So if I can give you some advice, if you want to be successful in life, the Bible says work hard, control the controllables, and you'll see what God will do. Look at Ecclesiastes 3, verse 10. I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. So you have to be busy. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. It's a decision to do good. We don't know how God is going to do it, but when you work hard and you put the effort in, God is faithful to bless the work of your hands. But if you just sit at home and you don't do anything and say, God, bless me, how is he going to do that? Because he blesses the work of your hands. You can control the controllables. Verse 13, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. So God makes everything beautiful in its time. And when I read that, I thought, there are so many challenges that we face. Am I talking to the right people here? But when you face challenges, it's not what you are going through, but it's how you go through it. Everybody can go through a difficult time, but you know what makes it really beautiful when you go through a difficult time? If you bless God in the good times, and you can bless God in the hard times. When you can say, Jesus, I love you, when you're going through an easy season, and when you can say, Jesus, I love you, when it's not as easy. And what truly makes it beautiful every season is when you control the controllables so that God's name can be glorified. So guess what's the first thing that you can control? Your words. Turn to the person next to you and say, control your words. Control what you say. You know, when we look at Scripture, one of the people that went through the most challenging times was Job. He could not control his circumstances, but he controlled his words that he spoke. The Bible says in Job 1 verse 22, in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. He never said, oh Lord, why am I going through this? Why are you doing this to me? Never charged God with any wrong. Job 2 verse 10, it says, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. And I said, Lord, please help me to be more like Job. Amen? Because we are so quick to sin. A matter of fact, most of our problems that we face in life are tongue problems. Things that you said that you shouldn't have said. A comment that you made when you rather should have kept quiet. Am I talking to the right people here? Those who honor God through their trials will be honored by God in their trials. The last of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control, because self-control brings everything together. Turn to the person next to you and say, self-control is something you have. When you are born of above, born of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit will start to manifest in your life. And one of them that will start to manifest is self-control. Can I have a loud amen? Amen. Why? Because you want to keep the peace of God in your heart. Many times through things that we say, you speak your mind, but it steals the peace in your heart. Family, listen to me. Silence cannot be misquoted. So sometimes the best thing is just to keep quiet. Psalm 141 verse 3 says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Listen to your conscience. If you're not sure what to say, first go pray and say, God, help me. You know, if you're facing a difficulty that feels overwhelming to you, you can ask God for wisdom. I love this scripture. In Psalm 73 verse 24, the Passion Translation says, you lead me with your secret wisdom. Oh, wow. The situation that feels like it's overwhelming you, God's got secret wisdom and how to deal with it. He says, you lead me with your secret wisdom, and following you brings me into your brightness and glory. You can control what you say. God has got the secret, the insight, the revelation of this thing that feels like overwhelming, what to do just to get through it in an easy way. Amen. So number one, I've got seven of them. Are you ready? So number one, control your words. Number two, be faithful and obedient where God has placed you. Can I just reword it? Be a hard worker. Turn to the person next to you and say, be a hard worker. You know, there's people that think they can just, well, I don't have to work hard. I just have to be an influencer. and things will happen for me. And I mean, even these days when you go and you just want to have a coffee with your wife, there's usually somebody there with a tripod and a phone, and they, and I think, are we eating now? What is going on here? But God sometimes will open doors for you, place you in certain positions, grant you favor, not just to be there and to enjoy it, but for a purpose. Just look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He poured drinks. He was a waiter, basically. But he was the king's waiter. And that placed him in a position to have conversations with the king that other people could not have. And he used that, control the controllables, to have a conversation and say, can I please go? I want to go build the wall. And the king said, you can go. Now, I want you to see here, certain things you can control and others you cannot control. He could ask the king to go, but he couldn't tell the king, you go build the wall. Sometimes we think because somebody has given us permission to do something, they must do it. Am I talking to the right people here? Control what you can control. When he started building the wall, even though the king said build the wall, everybody did not support him. There were people that came against him that caused confusion, that wanted to fight with him, that caused resistance. You cannot control people that come against you, but there are certain things that you can take control of. What was the first thing he did? He prayed. Nehemiah prayed. Control. You can always start by praying, and it's always a good idea to first go to God and say, God, help me. Number two, they placed guards outside. Number three, when they were building with a weapon in their one hand, a sword, and tools in the other hand. So God will give you a strategy. Control the controllables. What they did, he couldn't control that. But what the team did, he could say, this is the way that we're going to move forward. Amen? Nehemiah 1 verse 11, O Lord, pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. So the first thing, if you want to use your position, don't just say, oh, God has placed me, I can do what I want to. Lord, give me wisdom. Make my ways successful. Give me favor that at the right time I can ask for the right things so that we can advance the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something. If you're going to be a builder, build a business, build your career, build your marriage, you know what's one of the things that happened here that slowed them down? Nehemiah 4 verse 10, I love this. Then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing and there is so much rubbish that we're not able to build the wall. Many times when you want to build, there's some rubbish that will come against you or keep you back. And just rubbish is not people, amen? Most rubbish that you face is this. Listening to wrong advice. You know, sometimes if you want to build, say you want to build your health, don't just go here. Many of the people that give health advice here is not even qualified to do it. But you take it as the true gospel. Some of the people that give advice on marriages, they're on their fourth or fifth marriage. Some people give advice on children that never even had children. So they went and they got the strategy in place. And they were building, and God hastened it in its time. If you want to build, control the controllables. What was the first thing that they did? Preparation. If you're going to build, you have to have some preparation. We heard earlier, the foundation, all the preparation that takes place. Amen? So there needs to be some preparation. Turn to the person next to you and say, preparation. Say it again, say preparation. Number two, if you want to build with your team, you need unity. Be of one mind, one heart, one spirit, because what you agree upon, what two or more agree upon, it shall be done. And then lastly, hard work. Turn to the person next to you and say, hard work. You know why many people miss many great opportunities in life? Because those opportunities are usually clothed, not in Armani suits, but in overalls. And on the back of the overall, it's printed, hard work. People say, hard work? No, no, no. God said he's going to make it easy. Sometimes people miss out on opportunities because it's hard work. Nehemiah 4 verse 6. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Wow. What would happen if everybody had a mind to reach up, touch the heart of God, reach in, let God touch their hearts, and reach out and touch the heart of a community? The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. So you have to be a kingdom seeker, that's reaching up, a kingdom builder, that's reaching in, and a person that wants to advance the kingdom, that's reaching out. So decide to work hard and get people in your team that's prepared to work hard. Because if everybody wants to work hard and one person does not want to, that one negative person will have a major impact on the whole team. Turn to the person that you say, hard work. Amen. You know what's the next thing that you can control? Your attitude. Your attitude. Let's look at David's life, David and Goliath. David could not control the size of the giant. He could not control Saul's negativity. He could not control the fear that the whole army had. But he could take control in his life and manage the controllables. Number one, what did he do? He made sure that God's presence was in his life, because he knew he was not a giant slayer, but that he had a friend in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Who of you are facing some giants? Turn to the person next to you, say, I want you to listen to this. Say, this is how you take control of giants. You cannot control the size of the giant. You cannot control his armor. You cannot control his sword. You cannot control his shouting. But you can make sure that God is with you, number one. Number two, go pick up the 5 stones. What is that? David was the one who could throw that slingshot. He didn't just go with 1 stone, he came with 5. So the gifts and the abilities that God has given you, I want to tell you, it's enough to bring a giant down. But you're going to have to use that which God has given you. Number two, he spoke to the giant. He declared God's word. He said, you've not come against me, you've come against my God. He knew his position in Christ Jesus, that he was in the realm of victory in Christ Jesus, whereas the giant functioned from the realm of defeat and failure. And then lastly, he ran towards the battleground. Listen to me. You don't kill giants by running away from them. Ugh, I don't want to, this giant, I'm not going to fight. This is not for me. No, no, you don't walk away from a giant, because he's going to continue to shout. He's going to continue to intimidate. And you don't go control the giant, but you control what you can control. And when he did that, 1 stone gave him victory. What's possible is your responsibility. What's impossible is God's responsibility. Don't go and try and control the giant. Control the controllables. Giants don't kill people. It's the fear of giants that kill people. If you're going to face a giant, you need faith. But your faith can never rise above your confession. So be careful what you say when you face giants. It's too big for me. It's overwhelming. It's too much. Let me just say this. Lamentation says, who can say a thing and it comes to pass if God has not approved it? You know that the Bible says that. So some of you are sometimes so scared to say something negative because it will affect you. The Bible says in Psalm 91 verse 14, in the time of trouble, oh, don't confess trouble. It says in the time of trouble, because he has set his love upon me, I will deliver him. So you can face a time of trouble, but in time of trouble, when you love God, he brings deliverance. Sometimes, listen to me, people. You know, where's the safe place? Here's my wife. Sometimes we have a bad moment, and I can go to her, and sometimes there's things that upset me, and I can go to her and vice versa, and you better have somebody like that in your life, where you can, I want to say, vomit on each other. Can I use that and not get in trouble? But you know what happens? After we've done that, we can go wash ourselves with the Word of God. And we can say, okay, you know, what's the right thing? Because sometimes you keep things on the inside and you don't let it come out. And now it bottles up. And then we have an explosion. And that's not pretty. A little burp, you can just, you know, clean them out like a baby. So sometimes have your little moment. But then just clean up quickly. And you don't have to go tell everybody. I mean, every time your baby burps, you don't go tell the whole world that. You clean them up and you make sure it's fine. Amen? Because otherwise, if I stand here, I can vomit over all of you. And that will be bad. Am I helping some of you here? So sometimes we help each other when it comes to that. But then after that, we turn back to God. In the time of trouble, yes, there's trouble, there's difficulty, there's anxiety. Because He has set His love, turn to God. When fear wants to turn to God, He will deliver you. Amen? So take control of your emotions. Sometimes things just upset you and you just have to talk about it. Sometimes you don't have to. Amen? So David couldn't control the giant, the size of the giant. He couldn't control the army's fear. He couldn't control Saul's doubt. But what he could control, he controlled. Amen. Am I helping some of you? Turn to the person that you say, control the controllables. Can I say this? Remain faithful, even when others are not faithful. You can control your faithfulness. Don't because other people are not faithful say, I'm not going to be faithful. You know, and when I looked at this, the thing that touched my heart, Jesus, in His toughest hour, His most difficult moment, you know what happened? His disciples fell asleep and Judas betrayed Him. Have you ever been in a moment where you just want to do the right thing? And your friends that's there say, buddy, I've got your back. You're like, where are you? And they're like, am I talking to the right people? I was thinking, and then Judas, the one who had the money, he betrays you. But you know what was Jesus' attitude? He says, Father, not my will, but your will be done. You know what's the most beautiful thing? 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. So can I tell you something? Even if the whole world around you is faithless, you remain faithful. You can take control and say, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to put you first. And that's what Jesus did. He remains faithful even when we are not faithful. Just say, thank you, Jesus. The obedience, when we are faithful, you know what it does? It produces resurrection power. And what seems ordinary in the natural has an extraordinary effect in the spirit. So be faithful in everything. Be faithful in your prayers. Be faithful in your Bible reading. Be faithful in loving people. Be faithful in doing good. Be faithful in supporting the ministry. Be faithful as an usher. Be faithful as an hostess. Whatever department, be faithful. Amen. Are we going somewhere? Are you ready for the next one? Turn to the person next to you and say, now it's going to get tough. You're going to have to take control. The next thing that you have to control is the purity of your heart. Because Christianity lies in the purity of our hearts. And if we want to be Christians, you're going to have to guard this heart above all things. And I looked at the example of Joseph. Oh my word. He's the chosen one. He's the one with the dream. He's the one with the special jacket. And guess what? His brothers lie about him. His brothers betray him. His brothers sell him off. Then he gets to the palace. In the palace, the king's wife lies about him. He gets thrown into prison. When he's in prison, he uses the gifts that God has given him to help those in prison. And they say, listen, buddy, we've got your back. I'm going to tell the king how great you are. You're out of here now. And only 2 years later, that promotion came. Joseph could not control his brother's betrayal. He could not control the king's wife's lying. And he could not control those in prison. But he could take control of who he was, a man of integrity, and took control of his heart to be quick to forgive. You know what I like about him? When he went from the palace to the prison, he didn't start behaving like a criminal, but he behaved like somebody from the palace. He implemented palace rules in prison that they placed everything under his control to do things because he did it with an excellent spirit. Many times when we find ourselves in prison or a prison, and your prison can be many things, you say, oh, well, while I'm here, I'm just going to be like this and this. But when I'm out of here, then I'll do it the palace way. Take control, and while you're in your prison, behave like somebody that belongs in the palace. Because when he was in the pit, he said, I know where I belong. I belong in the palace. When he was in prison, he said, I know where I belong. I belong in the palace. And he took control of the situation and circumstances. Take control to forgive. They've hurt me. They're first going to suffer a little bit. I'm first going to put their nose in it for a little bit. That's not Bible. Take control. If you don't take control and forgive quickly, that bitterness might take control of you. Look at what the Bible says, Genesis 39, verse 23. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority or under his control, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. When you have a work ethic, do things with integrity, and you're a hard worker, even if you find yourself in a prison, God will promote you from the prison into the palace. When you take control, yes, give the Lord a hand. When you take control of the depth of your relationship with Jesus, he will take care of the width of your success. Can I say that again? When you take control of the depth of your relationship with Jesus, he will take care of the width of your success. Look at what Psalm 50 verse 20 says. But as for you, you meant it for evil against me. You wanted me to get bitter. You wanted me to have unforgiveness. You wanted me to become nasty. You wanted and thought that all of this is going to cause me to kill you. But God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people's lives. Can I tell you something? Why you have to take control of your heart? Because what you are going through right now could be for the salvation of many people's souls. And if you misbehave there in the prison, how will God be able to take you back into the palace? Turn to the person that you say, control the controllables. Are you ready for the second last one? Control your joy and contentment. You decide to be happy. Not what happens around determines that, but the joy that God has placed on the inside. Think about Paul. Paul was shipwrecked. Paul was beaten. Paul was lied about. But in everything, he had a good attitude. He could not control what was happening to him, but he could control what was happening on the inside. He could control how he was going to respond. Philippians 4 verse 11 says, not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I'm in. He says, I've learned. What does that mean? He says, I've got first-hand experience that whatever I'm going through, God is able to do far more abundantly, exceedingly above whatever I could think or imagine or dream. Because God strengthens me. God gives me the ability to go through it. He says, I know the end result. I know the end result is victory. And because I'm focusing on the victory, I can go through it. Count it all joy, or consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. We cannot control our trials. We cannot control the difficulties. We cannot control the shipwreck. We cannot control the lies. Sometimes we cannot control the beatings. I'm not talking about physical. Sometimes people beat us with their words. But you can control your attitude and say, I count it all joy. I'm making a decision to be happy. What seems ordinary in the natural has an extraordinary effect in the spirit, for God to take you from where you are to where God wants you to be. Amen. Have you learned to have a good attitude? To have a good attitude and to respond with joy is not something that comes naturally. Babies are not born with it. Parents, you have to train them and teach them those things. Amen. Then the last, release the uncontrollables through trust and prayer. So the things that you cannot control, you have to give to God. But the things that you can control, take control of it. Amen? God will give you wisdom. God will give you knowledge, understanding. He will give you counsel, and the fear of God will rest upon you. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, when you worry about things that you cannot control, you're actually trying to take control of those things that you're worrying about. Don't worry about the things that you cannot control. Give those things to God. It belongs to God. You're actually trying to do what God says He will do. The impossible. Am I talking to the right people here? When you take those worries and you put it in the hands of God, God will put His peace in your heart. When you give those things to God, those things that you worry about, they lose their grip upon you. But when you take those things and you want to hold on to them, they grab hold of you. Put it in the hands of God. When you control the controllables, but the things you cannot control, when you put it in the hands of God, God will put His peace in your heart. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. The uncontrollables, why will God take care of it? Because He cares about you. But we think, I'm going to control the cold weather tonight. And then guess what happens? That cold weather hits you that you feel it in your bones. Not just in your bones, your throat is sore. That was a good lesson. That was a whole sermon. When we control the controllables and we leave the rest to God, God will perfect everything concerning us. I'm going to close with this in conclusion. Control what you can control. Control what you say. Control your attitude. Control and decide if I'm going to be a hard worker. Be faithful. Be committed. Amen? Make a decision when it comes to those things. The things that you can control, control them. In your personal life, control the time that you spent with the Lord. Control your prayers. Control your Bible reading. What do I mean by that? Make a decision to say, God, this is my time with You. I'm going to look and seek Your face, Lord. When it comes to your family, you take control to encourage your children, to love your children, to love one another. Take control of that. They first love me, then I love them back. No. Your finances, take control of your finances. It's not how much is coming out, it's how much is flowing out. So budget if you have to budget. Amen? Be a generous giver. Do good. Because those things represent your life. Can I say the most important thing where you have to take control? Today, can I speak to fathers? As fathers, make a decision that as a house, like what Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve God. Make the decision. You know, just go to Joshua 24, verse 15. You know, when I was reading this, I was busy with this scripture until late last night. Just go to Joshua. Verse 15. Look what it says. It says, if it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Listen to me. This is not by compulsion. This is willingly decide who you want to serve. This is what he's saying. He says, you guys decide. He says, there are many options out there. There are many options here in South Africa. He says, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the rivers, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He says, listen, I've got understanding. There's one living God, and He is Jesus Christ. And he's saying to them, listen, I'm not going to fight with you. I'm not going to be angry with you, but make a decision whom you want to serve. If you want to serve Jesus, then serve Jesus. If you don't want to serve Jesus, then go serve who you want to serve. But don't come and combine the two. Can I have a say? Amen. He says, don't combine the two. Because this is what's making the church weak. If you go to verse 19, a matter of fact, he goes on and he says to them, he says, listen here, you say that you're going to serve God, but I'm telling you now, you're not going to serve Him. And the reason why you cannot serve him, verse 19, but Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. And this kept me awake last night. Why is he saying to them, you say you want to serve God, you're saying what I'm saying, but I'm telling you, you cannot serve God because he's holy. Because you cannot bring things that are unholy into your life and say, I'm going to serve a holy God. He says, if you do this, he says, there's one that I know that produces righteousness. And that's Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin so that we can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Remember, we started off by saying, choose life. When you choose Jesus, you're not just choosing life, you're choosing eternal life. And this is what makes this Bible so confrontational sometimes. Just put John 17 verse 3 on. And this is eternal life, that you may know him and the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. He's saying to Joshua, saying to them, listen guys, I've got revelation and understanding that there's only one true God and I want to serve him. Make a decision if you want to serve him or not. If you don't want to serve him, guess what? He's still going to love you. He doesn't love sin, but he loves all people. He loves all religions. He loves everybody. And therefore, we should love everybody, even in this nation. But if we say we are Christians, then we are saying there's one true God and his name is Jesus Christ. And then the Lord took me to 1 John 5, verse 20. Look at this. Actually, go to verse 18. It's so... Have I still got some time? So this is... unpolished, don't get me into trouble. This is God just speaking to me last night, and I was meditating upon this. That 1 John 5, verse 18, he says here, listen to this. He says, verse 18, we know that whoever is born of God. So turn to the person next to you, say, you must be born again. Then he says, verse 19, we know that we are of God. You're of God. But then he says in verse 20, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. This is what Joshua was talking about. He's saying, listen here, I've got an understanding of the one God who is true. And for me and my house, we're going to serve this one true God. He says, I know you've got other things in your house. I know you are practicing other things. He says, if you want to practice that, practice that. But don't say you are serving Jesus and those other things. Am I talking to the right people here? And he challenged me and he said, what are the things that are idols in my life? And I mean, God, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. But listen here. He says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true. So he says he's true, and the truth is now in us. In his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. So he says, according to Scripture here, there's one true God. And that's Jesus Christ. He says, and as for me and my house, we want to serve him. Do you know what's the next verse that he says here? He says, keep yourselves from idols. And I thought, Lord, this links to what Joshua was saying. And let me just say, you know what an idol is? An idol is anything that takes the place in your heart above Jesus Christ. That's an idol. But if we say we want to serve the only living God, the holy Jesus, then let that holy Jesus be the God that you serve with all your heart. It's not a matter of combining our strength with Jesus, but to say, Jesus, I put you first. Do you understand what I'm saying? He says, when you include God, remember what we are dealing with here. We're dealing here with a God that says he's holy. We're dealing here with a God that says he's righteous. And if you want to seek him and you want to serve him, Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So if we are seeking righteousness and he's made us righteous, we should practice righteousness. Are we going to make mistakes? Yes, we make mistakes, but we run to God immediately. And this is what Joshua is saying. He says, I'm going to make mistakes. But as for me and my house, we've made a decision. We're going to serve God. If we make a mistake, we're going to run to God. We don't run to other options. We've made a decision and purpose that we're going to serve the one and only true God. Are there other religions out there? Yes. Do I love them? Yes, I can love them. But as they should serve their God with everything, let us as Christians serve God with everything. And let people not be confused who we're serving and who we're living for. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. So I'm just speaking to the dads. I'm saying, dads, take control of your life. Take control and decide whom you want to serve. But whom you serve will determine where you will end up. And God, in His Word, says there's only one who brings eternal life, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's the God that I choose to serve. In this day, make a decision to control the controllables. But the things that you cannot control, put it in the hands of God. But most of all, purpose in your heart, decide in your heart, I want to give Jesus the rightful place. I trust that this message has encouraged you, that where you feel like your life is spinning out of control, things are going haywire, take control of the controllables. Go sit down and say, in this situation, what is it that I can control? And we're not talking about controlling people, situation and circumstances, your heart and your attitude. Amen? And write those things down and take control of those things. The things that you cannot control, take it in prayer to God immediately. He is the living Jesus. He is the Holy One. He is the one that can manifest His light into darkness to bring change in a situation that feels it's out of control. And then give thanks to God in everything. When we give Jesus the rightful place in our hearts, many of our problems will just solve. Many of our problems will just disappear. Many of our challenges that we face is because we've not given Jesus the rightful place. Give Him the rightful place in your heart. Siela.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.